Hello? I know you're there. Look, I can see the lights of the TV. Please, I just want to watch the finale. Come on, guys. I'll give you a foot massage or anything.
Time to get your own fiber? Speak to Vox. Because for a limited time period, you can save up to 3,000 Rand in installation costs. And we'll send a technician to help you get set up.
Hello?
Go to vox.co.za. Get fiber to your home. Get free installation and activation. Open the door to endless entertainment.
T's and C's apply.
Bitco is revolutionizing the way businesses connect. We're taking on your connectivity challenges and shooting our high-speed fiber internet across the country. Not just for some, but for everyone. Fiber is not a luxury, but a necessity. For business, for life, for you. And being connected is everything. So network with a Tier 1 internet provider and take your business to the next level of connectivity. Bitco.co.za. Connectivity is everything.
Duncan McLeod, and you're listening to the Tech Central podcast. I'm in Woodmead in Johannesburg today to talk to Felix Honigvax, CEO at Globee. Globee is a global payments company that accepts cryptocurrencies. Am I describing that right?
That's correct, Duncan. Thank you so much for having us on your show.
It's a pleasure. Welcome to the show, Felix. So tell me a bit about Globee. What is its background? I know that Ricardo Spagna, who we spoke to this morning, is involved, founded or co-founded it.
That's right.
But tell us a bit more about the background of the company, how it started and what it does.
So Globee is a global payments company for cryptocurrencies. And it was sort of in the late 2014s when cryptocurrencies kind of came up, and we obviously were involved with cryptocurrencies for quite some time at that point. But we felt that merchants didn't have an opportunity to participate in accepting cryptocurrencies. It was too complicated. There were a whole bunch of different technical loops that a merchant would have to jump through in order to accept cryptocurrencies. And then there obviously was the uncertainty that existed at the time. So if I accept a cryptocurrency, would I be able to convert that into what they would consider real money, or what is commonly known as fiat currencies? And we wanted to fill that gap. And we felt really there was a need to make it very, very easy for a merchant to accept not just Bitcoin, but a variety of different cryptocurrencies. So we've got Bitcoin, and we've got a variety of different what they call altcoins, which is Ethereum, or in our case also Monero, and a variety of others. And then have options in how to be settled. So we settle merchants in Bitcoin, but we also settle them in XMR, which is Monero, or we simply convert it into fiat currency, and they can receive it into their bank account. So we're really bridging that gap.
So when we spoke to Ricardo Spagna a bit earlier today, he I asked him, in fact, and he confirmed it, that this is effectively an attempt to create the PayPal of cryptocurrencies.
If you want, it is the PayPal of cryptocurrencies, but it's I think it's a little more than that.
All right.
So it goes. We hope that it will ultimately build an ecosystem where cryptocurrencies are just a accepted form of legal tender. Then make it easy for people to accept cryptocurrencies. For us, also equals the ability to just participate in that market overall. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to remove the uncertainty that might exist with cryptocurrencies, both the acceptance as well as the tender thereof. And hence, initially, we said, look, we understand that you would want to be settled in fiat currencies. You want just money into your bank account. That makes complete sense for us. But we now seeing an interesting trend whereby many of our merchants that are use us on a daily basis are choosing to retain some of those cryptocurrencies, which of course is what we try to encourage. So whatever that ratio is, mm-hmm. at the moment, probably, I suppose, an 80-20 kind of scenario, whereby 20% accept fiat or retain the cryptocurrencies, and 80% of the payments are still settled in fiat. But we would like to encourage our merchants to change that over time.
All right. Is the business based out of Johannesburg?
It's based out of Johannesburg, indeed. But we've got a global team. So we've got some of our developers sit in Seattle. Another one sits in Austria. We've got a team in San Francisco. Of course, it seems sort of normal these days to have one in San Francisco. But for us, it's very strategic, because some of the partnerships, you know, some of the third party integrations that we have in global are based in San Francisco, so it makes strategic sense for us. But the majority of our team, so it's a well built South African, coded from the bottom up payment gateway, and we all sit here in Johannesburg.
In Joburg, which is great, because usually it's you know, it's not often we see the sort of development happening here in South Africa. It's technology being sold to us rather than us selling technology to the rest of the world.
As you can tell, I'm extremely excited about that. So, if I look into myself, for instance, then I come from a background of working with a variety of different software companies over the years. For me personally, this is a very, 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 very close to my heart project. In this, we've coded Globy from, as I said, from the bottom up. It's not an easy task, I can assure you. Specifically, the integration of a variety of coins. So if you want to just accept Bitcoin, it might potentially be easy. At the moment, we've got over 16 different currencies that we accept. By the end of July, we'll have over 55.
Good grief.
And we've made advancements in the speed of our payments. We've just launched last month a protocol that is called Lightning. So Lightning protocol, essentially.
That's the bit to speed up the transactions on Bitcoin.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. So and it's if you want the second layer of Bitcoin, whereby people have been complaining about the confirmation times, you know, it takes some time to kind of confirm a transaction and things like that. I don't want to go into too much technical detail here, but at the end of the day, speed is of absolute importance, and making it easy for people. So we are innovating, we are building it from scratch. We've got at the moment 16 developers in this office that are working on this day in and day out, and we're having a lot of fun doing it.
Great stuff. So just give us an idea how big it is at this stage. How many merchants do you have on board?
So we've got a variety. First of all, the unfortunate part is that most of them are not local. So as it goes sometimes with the maturity of an industry overall or a market, most of our merchants sit in North America and in Europe at this point, particularly France and Germany. They've got rather mature markets, a lot of merchants that are accepting Bitcoin and other coins as payment methods. And in South Africa, we're slightly lagging behind. We're doing, on average, daily transactions of just under $2 million.
Mm-hmm.
We are increasing that on an ongoing basis. It's rather not linear at this point. It is exponential in accordance sort of with the industry overall. There are more people getting into Bitcoin than not.
What's involved from a technical hardware perspective to build something like this? Do you have big switches that you have to put in place to handle this, and do they have to be located in certain places in the world to facilitate fast transactions?
Well, this is supposedly the beauty of the blockchain, right? So we rely on the existing network of the blockchain in itself.
All right.
And we set up different what they call nodes in a variety of places. At the moment, they're in South Africa, in Europe, then I'll spare you the location for security reasons, and in North America. And whilst we rely on the general network that the blockchain provides, we back that up with our own in all of these locations.
Okay. And how does regulation apply to you? This is quite a heavily regulated area, typically financial services.
It is.
Are you quite heavily regulated by South African and other authorities?
Well, it's different strokes for different folks. So the US, for instance, are much further in engaging, I would say, constructively with cryptocurrency payment gateways, or generally companies that engage in blockchain. And we've just come essentially from a week out in New York, where we've been engaging with the Stock Exchange Commission and a variety of treasury officials and so forth. So we see a willingness in the United States, for instance, that is going in the right direction. I don't think, or at least from where I stand, I'm not seeing real constructive mechanisms that are being put in place that will solve these challenges in the long run. And I think because when you come from a largely traditional world whereby financial services are extremely regulated, and any form of cryptocurrencies has got the tendency to be slightly more libertarian, then finding a useful mechanism to regulate is hard. How do you deal with taxation? How do you deal with sizes? How do you deal with a variety of these different elements? These things are hard. Then the South Africa, I think, is quite far behind, at least at this point, in engaging constructively with people like ourselves or others as to how this could work. I don't think neither the Treasury nor SARS nor anybody else has got a dedicated team that is looking into this. It's largely based in kind of comparing it to traditional financial services. These are not traditional financial services. It's far from it. Where, you know, we can make transactions in seconds. It's like we can move money from one part of the world to the other in literally less than a minute. It's we don't need a SWIFT system. We don't need a variety of systems. It's as reliable. It's as secure. As all of those, it's out in the open, as you know. Then with the ledger system associated with the blockchain, we have a mechanism of checking on each other. Checks and balances are naturally built in. Everybody knows who's transacting what. It's not a thing. So these are very different and complex systems that need to be understood first before you can regulate it. We find at this point that South Africa is not making perhaps the investment in hiring the type of people into the Treasury, into SARS that fully understand this space. Typically, what happens, and we're seeing some of these panic-driven mechanisms being put in place, is that you want to overregulate, and there's no need for overregulation, at least at this point, because volumes, as compared to fiat transactions, are so low that it doesn't make sense. So, shutting down an industry before it has actually emerged, while sort of being able to concurrently have a technology that is really, really exciting and needing to put regulation in place is a very hard task. Hard to say how it's going to develop.
So what you're saying is the regulators should really keep their hands off. Start to study the space, but don't jump in with regulations that could undermine the space.
I would say so. There should be we as you may mention, we just come from a forum called Consensus in the US. It's a global forum in which essentially the industry trying to reach consensus on how we're going to go about certain things. One of these topics is regulation. So creating these forums in which one can broadly engage and fully understand the different issues is probably a good first step, not just for South Africa, but for many regulators in order to find useful mechanisms and to not overregulate.
I think sometimes the regulators start to pay attention when something happens, like money is stolen, large amounts of money is stolen. What is the security side of this business here? I mean, what security mechanisms have you put in place, do you need to put in place to protect people's money?
So there are different and diverse aspects to this. First of all, of course, as any payment gateway, and we're not different to a fiat payment gateway in that we built the system with security in mind from the ground up. So most of our developers are essentially security developers, and we've designed the system to prevent intruders or any form of breaches to occur. The second aspect to that, and probably far more important, is that we don't hold physical money. So we don't have wallets associated with our payment mechanisms. We merely facilitate the transaction from a shopper to a merchant. It's a direct translation. We don't keep the money. We don't hold the money. We just make that similar to a credit card transaction. You know, you swipe your credit card, and the credit that is associated with that card gets directly passed on, minus, I suppose, transaction fees, whatever that might be, to the merchant, and we do the same thing.
Okay. Before I let you go, Felix, the revenue model, is it based on transaction fees, or do you arbitrage on the currency rates? How does it work?
Transaction fees. So we've got three different packages in which we operate concurrently. So unlike fiat mechanisms, we much cheaper, as one would expect. So our free model for cryptocurrencies is 1%. So we charge a merchant 1% in order to accept cryptocurrencies, and then the relevant conversion into whatever they want. And then we've got paid for models. So then merchants that transact higher with us have got sort of a medium term a package that's $30. And then we've got an enterprise model that starts at $300. And associated with that is then are things like 24/7 support, etc.
Fascinating business, Felix. Felix Honigfachs, I hope I'm not butchering your surname, is CEO of Globee. Thanks so much for talking to Tech Central today.
Thank you so much, Duncan. Thank you so much.